We have the joy of having a guest speaker this morning, really part of the Cornerstone family. I call him our Cornerstone crazy uncle, Jay LaRue. He's been with us over the decades, really, and always watching over our church, and he prays for us. He's a mentor and a trusted leader for me, and Jay brings the gift of the Word. He's well studied. You'll hear that. And he also has a passion for the Spirit of God to move through prophecy. And so you'll see both in what he shares about what he believes God is saying to the church today, as well as at the end, there's some time if the Lord leads him, he'll say a few things that he feels like God wants to encourage particular people in our church about. And so I just want you to today receive and get your hearts ready to see a beautiful combination of the Word and the Spirit in the teaching and also the gifts. And so would you just open up your hearts and welcome Dr. Jay LaRue as he comes this morning.
My. You can't help hear your name and react to it. I mean, it's just the way it is. Now I see pictures and videos, and it was early last year that actually it was my wife who did it. She wasn't with me, and all of a sudden my high school graduation picture showed up. My hair was long like this, and I looked up to her and I thought, they said, guess who this is? I was like, oh my gosh, I don't believe it. Nobody guessed, unfortunately. So I started carrying wigs around with me just in case. Well, it's a great honor to be here. I so appreciate Pastor Sean and Sarah and this pastoral team and staff for graciously allowing me to have a part of what the Lord is doing here at the church and obviously within your lives, the lives of our young people who I adore. I just wanted to visit them in between the services to say hello. Your youth director is doing an incredible job with them. You could be proud of her very, very much. To the eldership, too, of this church, it's such an honor for me to serve with men of and women of great integrity. And again, to them, it's a great honor for me and a privilege to be here today and this evening as well. How about our worship team this morning? Yeah. I need to know who wrote that last song because that last song was just incredible. And for our sound folks, I mean, without them, I'm basically powerless. And for our video guy, our gentleman, they were teasing him because I said the guy on the, or the gal on the, on the video, because at one time I always said guy, and then a gal met me at the back of the sanctuary and said, I want you to know I was doing a video today. So I'm doing my best to be church-wise politically correct. I am. I'm doing my best. I'm still learning, still very wet hair. Luke chapter 15. If you're wanting just a taste of tonight, before I read this, the incredible normality of the supernatural of our God. I call it, and I've been calling with our young people, but I've been using a little bit more with the adults, always do with them, is super normal, if that's okay. So please, I've needed to learn just how chilled our God is and how much he loves to communicate with us. It was really a great cost that we would have no abyss between our God and us, that Jesus paid so that we could walk as one and be one and we could behold his face. That was always his plan and his desire to make this thing for us a lot simpler than in some ways we've made it. Luke chapter 15, you'll know the story. I'm reading old language, I hope you don't mind. We'll work through some of these words. And he said, verse 11, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, yo, daddy-o, give me my portion of goods that are to be mine, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted away his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent it all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And when he would, beautiful old word, fain, when he was so hungry that he would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine were eating, and no man gave anything to him. Verse 17, beautiful word. And when he came to himself, he said, man, how many servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I'm perished with hunger? This is what I'll do. I'll rise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called your son, but just make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And bring that fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and when he came and he drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and dancing. And they called one of the servants and asked him, what's going on? And he said, man, you're not going to believe this. Your brother has come home, and your father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out to him and entreated him. And he answered, and he answered and said to his father, man, all these years I've served you, never transgressed any of your commandments, yet you never even gave me a kid that I might make merry and have a party with my friends. But as soon as this your son has come, which hath devoured the living, that you're living with harlots, and now you have killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is yours. It is right that we should make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Let me just make a few opening comments. Jesus is answering the question the Pharisees and scribes have asked him. They're questioning about his way of life. And he gives, as he often does, parables or stories to answer that question. This is the third one in this series of answering the question. The first one is about sheep, and then the second one is about a coin. I've come to this one this morning because I want you, if you will, to live it with me. He, Jesus, is revealing passions, that heaven's passion. The passion has been hidden in God that many that have not even to this day realize. And he's unveiling it for us. So if you will, just be with me in this story and live out the emotions of this father and these two sons as Jesus unveils this incredible desire and longing of his own father. Father, I thank you this morning for the honor and privileges. I've already said, you know this. To be part of this great church, this great people, this incredible pastoral staff. Lord, these men and women who have been here for years, and even the new ones, what a moment of time for us. It is a great day to be in the kingdom of our God. So I'm asking that you touch every heart this morning, especially mine. Cause us to see and understand and know this hidden passion that has been in our God from eternity, revealed in Jesus and made known to us. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. The man's wealthy. We know it by the story. The father has two sons. And the younger son comes to the father and says, Dad, I want my portion of my inheritance. And it amazes me. The father doesn't argue, doesn't debate with him. He literally cuts him his portion. We don't know how long it is, just a few days after. And I love Jesus' words. The younger son is going to go on his journey. He kind of wants to do his thing, his way. He doesn't change his name. He's not any longer part of the family. He is. But he's just got to do it his way. He just wants to go find out his life and do it in his terms. He's just on his journey. And so he goes to a far country. The Hebrews are very tight with chronology. The Greeks don't write this way, and Jesus isn't telling us, but we know it's far, so we don't know if it's months and months or even a year away. We're not sure, but he gets to this far country, and he begins spending his father's or his inheritance, that which his father has saved for him, that which his father has dreamed for him, that which his father has waited to give to him. He's spending it on everybody he sees. He's making all kinds of friends. You know how this is. If you got money, man, you got friends. Yeah, so he's drinking, he's eating. He even had some Maryland crab cakes shipped to Virginia. He even had them ship some lobster from Maine. I mean, he was having a pâté. Man, he was just enjoying himself, eating and drinking and loving it. He was doing his thing. He was feeling pretty good about it. He could not believe it. Well, all of a sudden, without realizing it, he had wasted away his substance. They called this the prodigal son because he's living righteously. He's living the way he wants to. But this isn't a story about either one of the sons. Before he realizes it, he has wasted everything his father has given him. It is gone. We don't know. Is it a year, 2 years, 5 years? We're not really sure. But now it is all gone. And to make it even worse, he couldn't find a job or find another career because a great famine came. Oh, in this part of the world, the famine would be so bad that there would literally be no water, no food. It would be desperate. He had no choice but to, the word Jesus uses, enslave himself to one of the people of the land. Here he is, already was a son of a wealthy man. And now, because of his own choices, he is with a man of another country, enslaved, indebted to him. And the man of all things sends a young Jewish boy to feed pigs. It doesn't get more humiliating than that. We don't know how long he is there. He looked and no man helped him, no person he met, no one that he spent his money on, that he wasted his inheritance on. There was no one there to help him. There was not another person. He was by himself and all he had was the corn husk that he was feeding the swine. We know by Jesus' story that he was growing so hungry because there was no food. There was nothing for him to eat. Even the man who brought him on and made him an indentured slave, even he wasn't feeding him. He was so desperate that he was about to eat the feed of the pigs. He literally is looking at the husk, considering eating them. And he came to himself. What a phrase Jesus uses. He begins, as any one of us would, to relive what he had just lived through. To reevaluate where he was. And in the process, he begins to think about his father's house. And he himself will say it. My father's servants have bread enough to spare. And here I am, ready to eat the food of pigs. I'm so hungry. I'm so desperate. I'm ready to eat these husks that the pigs are eating. He just begins to consider that. I've got to rise and I've got to go to my father. I have to. I have no choice. But I've got to tell him. I've got to tell him I've sinned against heaven and sinned before him. I'm no longer worthy to be his son. I mean, I've got to tell him that. He's got to know what I've done. He's got to know I've wasted everything. Everything he gave, everything he dreamed for, everything he labored for. I've wasted it on myself. I've got to tell him that. I'm no longer worthy to be his son. That maybe if he's willing, I could just be one of the servants. At least I'd have bread to spare, I have bread to eat. We don't know how long he waits. How long he sat and contemplated it. Thought about all the months, the days, the years the choices, having to go back and face his father. He doesn't know it though, but from the day he left, though the father was silent, as he walked down that road away from his father, he had no idea that every single day his father looked down that road longing for his son's return. He had no idea what was in the heart of his father. He had no idea the passion and the compassion that was in his father's heart. He had no idea. He finally arose and began to make the journey. Boy, I wish I knew how long. I love that idea. Did he walk a day, 3 days, 3 weeks, a month, 6 months? How long to get back? I could imagine the stench on his own body, the look on his face, the condition he was in. He ended up getting close enough, and this was the day that his father came out and looked down the road, and there he was. There he was. His father ran to him. He didn't evaluate his look. He didn't have an opinion about where he was. He just couldn't believe his son had returned home. He fell on his neck with compassion and began to kiss his neck. The son was taken by it, almost pushed him away. He said, Dad, wait. Dad, you don't know. Dad, you don't know. Dad, listen, I've sinned against heaven. I have. I've sinned before you. The shame that he had. Dad, please, Dad, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Dad, maybe, possibly, I could be your servant. I love the Father. He doesn't say, well, I don't know, look at you. No, nothing. He immediately says, almost to the son. He says to one of his servants, go get the robe. Oh, please, you've got to know that every wealthy man in this culture had a closet built in the house. In it was the robe. The robe was kept there to honor the most important guest in the house at the time. He went in and got the robe. The young man looked with the filth on him, couldn't believe his ears. He knew what the father was doing. He was returning the honor of being the father's son. Can you imagine it with me standing there with the robe on in disbelief? Who could have imagined any father would be like this one? He turned and he said to another servant, go get the ring. You've got to know that every wealthy man had a ring. The purpose of the ring was it was the authority of the father's house, the authority of the father's kingdom, the authority of the father's wealth. And what that was anything that young man would want to buy, he would just simply stamp it, and it would be charged to the father. Whatever he needed, he would stamp it. Even when he walked, people would notice, oh, that's the son of that father. That's the son of that kingdom. It was aware who he was. He couldn't believe it, that although he squandered everything, his father restored him back to his original place. The son was in disbelief, as I am as I read it, as I am as I'm saying it, as I am in relation to this father. And then he looks down at his feet. You know, shoes are pretty interesting. My wife has a few of them. But I got to tell you, I love them on her. Your feet always have a voice of where you've been, where you've walked. They have the marks of life choices. They have the aroma of where you've walked and where you've lived. They're not deceptive. They tell the truth. They speak for a man. You know where he's been. You know where he's walked. I can only imagine where what his feet looked like. Did they have the filth of the pigs on them? Did they have the dirt of the streets that he had walked on? Was there the smell of poor and brokenness on them? Were they ripped and torn? Did he even have shoes? Did he waste everything away to the point that he didn't have his shoes? The father looks down, and I love this. He doesn't judge where he has been. He doesn't judge what's happened. He doesn't judge about the things he's done. He immediately says, get him new shoes. Your shoes, what has taken place is the son knows it. What the father's done is he's set him back on the straight and narrow. He sent him back in the way of the father's heart. He sent him back in his ultimate intention. He sent him back in the will of his father. He sent him back in his destiny. After all this, the father's not done. You see, this fatted calf has been something that the father has been feeding for a long period of time. It is purposely set aside for a dignitary. It's purposely set aside if the prime minister or a king or a president comes or a governor. It is set there. It isn't for just anybody. It wasn't even for the family. It was for someone special. And he says in front of that son with the filth, standing in that beautiful robe with the ring and the new shoes, he says, go get the fatted calf. Kill him. My son who is dead is alive. My son who was lost is found. Let's have a party. That's exactly what he said. Let's celebrate. They started. They brought in a couple of Christian bands. The kid liked POD, so they brought them in, just do a couple sets, that's it. The other ones, they had a little Michael W. Smith, some Jesus culture. Yeah, they were kind of mixed it. And they had to have Brandon, they had to have Pastor Brandon, they had to have him in the group. They had to do it. They wanted to do that song. We have to have that song. Well, there was the older son. We know what he's been thinking. You see, he's been plowing the father's field. We don't know the season or the time in this particular moment, this story. We don't know if he's plowing to seed or if he's seeding because he plowed or if he's picking the yield, whether a good yield or not, or he's plowing it under. We don't know. But we know he's thinking that he's been serving his father because it's the right thing to do. He's been obedient because he knows you're to be obedient. The word he's going to use to this father is, I've been your slave all of these years. That's the word he's going to use. So in his mind, he's been doing what's right. Serving his father. Obeying his father. Being a slave to his father. Everything his father commanded, he did. That's what's been going on. Well, I relate to him. We don't know how long he's been plowing. How much older is he? Has he been doing this for 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, 20 years, 35 years, maybe 40. Maybe he's 44, 45, and he's been plowing since he was a young man and laboring. Toiling. He finally gets through and he begins to come closer to the house and tired, I'm sure his hands were tired, and he hears the music. And he calls over one of his father's servants and he goes, what's going on? And the father's servant is elated. He says, you're not going to believe it, man. Your brother is back. Yeah. Your father thought he was dead. He's alive. Your father thought he was lost, but he's been found. And they killed the fatted calf. And we're having a party, a celebration. Come on down. And the son, older son said, I will not. We know what he's been thinking all this time. The father begins, Jesus calls, entreating him. He's going to come out to see what's wrong. I mean, why wouldn't he come? I don't understand why my son doesn't I don't understand. The father's uncertain about what's going on, and so the father leaves the house, and the older son is just pacing with this agitation on his face, just angry. He's angry. And the father comes and he goes, "Son, what's going on?" And he says, "Please." You know, all these years, I've obeyed every commandment. All these years, I've served you. Did everything you said. No matter what it was, I did it. I've been here. And notice, not his brother. Your son comes back. After he has wasted everything on everything. And you kill the fatted calf? I mean, you kill the fatted calf? All this time I've been here. Did you even one time even say to me, "Hey, get a baby goat"? Being sarcastic. And kill it and have a party with your friends. And the father's astonished. He steps back and please hear his words. He said, son, you have not known? I didn't know you didn't know. I've always been here for you. You've always been with me. And everything I have, it is already yours. Son, it's right that we make merry for your brother. I thought he was dead, but he wasn't. I thought he was lost, but he wasn't. Maybe this morning, you've been on your own journey. You know, just want to break away. Just want to do it my way, do my thing. Just want to, you know, it's amazing too. He doesn't change his name. He didn't leave the family. He just wanted to do it his way, the way he likes to do it, the way he wanted to do it. And maybe this morning it feels like you've wasted the days, wasted the years, wasted the time. Maybe it feels like that you really haven't been what he intended, and everything that was given has just been wasted away. I want you to know this morning, our Father's been waiting for your return. I want you to know this morning that our incredible God, our Father, has been longing to see the return of his sons and his daughters. He intends to reestablish the honor back on every one of our lives. To reestablish the authority of the kingdom, the power of the kingdom, and the wealth of the kingdom back to every son, every daughter. And even this morning, if you're willing, he'll reset the new shoes upon us. We'll walk in a new way, with a new hope, with a new dream, a new faith. That young man's life will never be the same. Only our God can, in a moment, cause us to forget our yesterdays and have a hope for our tomorrow. Amen. If that's you, I don't need a show of hands. I'm not looking for that. But if you've been on your own journey this morning, let's begin to walk in his destiny for us. What an incredible father. I want to talk about the older brother, though, because I relate to him. I wish I could tell you really that since I've been 22 years old when I got born again, for the last 40 plus years, that I've just been just obeying him out of love. That I wouldn't sin because I know I'm not supposed to. I wish I could tell you that every time my whole life has been nothing but, it seems like plowing. That every time I set the plow, that I just did it with such joy and laughter, such love, as I grip my teeth. But I wish I could tell you that I didn't grow weary and tired. And I got to say that I often wondered sometimes, like the older brother, has there been any real value in the serving? And at times, I have felt enslaved. This story years ago set me free. I didn't have to earn him or his love. I didn't have to earn him or his kingdom. I didn't have to earn him and all he has. I came to realize that he's always been there for us. He's always been with us. And everything he has is already ours. I so appreciate the men and women of this church, especially because I'm here, that have served from its inception and still are here. The men and women of this eldership and of this church that I know that have labored long and we're eating the fruits of it. I want them to know how much he loves and adores it. And for us to know, if you've grown tired and wonder, does he really see what I do? Does he really care what I do? I want you to know, absolutely. I don't have to find him. He's found me. We really don't have to look for him. He's with us. It changed me. Believe it or not, on Monday mornings, I still look like this. Last week, I didn't get home until 1 o'clock. I was up at 6 o'clock to move the next day. Sure, I was tired. But I just stood in awe of such a father. How could anyone love us like this? How could anyone accept us like this? How can anyone do this? Stand with me, please. The elders are going to come up afterwards when I'm finished, I think. You guys are. I just want to see you. So maybe just this decision before I change this direction of what we're doing. If you're on your own journey, let today be the day. Return, please. But if there was ever a day where the weariness and the struggle and the wonderment of the faithful men and women has ever almost overtaken us, we've almost came to that point. But I want you to know our God is greatly on the move in this very moment, bringing salvation and bringing a dimension of himself that we could only dream of. If there was ever a day to get back in the race, it's now. If there was ever a day to look at the prize and go for it, it's now. Father, I thank you for all that you've done, all that you've said. Thank you for being you. I couldn't have enough lifetimes to express or unfold the incredible nature of our living God and your love. Please, by revelation, let it be known to us. In Jesus' name, amen. How about giving the Lord a hand for me? Amen. Yeah. Sit, please, sit. We're good. We're recording. Great. Good. Thank you. You can anticipate growth. I want to do it like this. It was funny. I was in your office, and the Lord was been, you know, before I get here, I know some things, know a lot of things, and I have to wait this and that, you know, in a small brain, it works like that. But it's been like this. You see, Cornerstone was a village, then a town. Now it's going to become a city. And so God is going to enlarge the expressions of her. He's going to enlarge the magnitude and the foundation of her. He's going to enlarge. I thought, well, I'll say expand the tent post. No, that's too small. That has limitations because the tent can only go so far. That cannot be the phrase. The city is the one because the city, though it has limits, the limits are broad and wide and expanded. There is an architect over the city. There is a city planner. All these things the Lord is bringing in to bring her to what she's to be. And the Lord will increase your faith and the faith of the pastoral team and the faith of the eldership and the faith of the board and the faith of the church. You're just going to see it grow. Even in your own family, you're going to watch this faith increase. It's just going to be this ability to believe God. We're going to say, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like you're going to walk out of your office and go, that was the shortest meeting I ever had. Yes, yes, yes. Not that there's any debates. It's never that. But there's going to be this increase of faith. With it, you're going to begin to see the dimension of the glory of God begin to come in like it did in Ezekiel's, out of Ezekiel's temple. It'll be this slow rising thing. It won't be this immediate, boom, full flood like. It won't. But you're going to see it come. And with it will come many dimensions of things that I'm not going to say within this. It would just be too long. It in itself will bring dimensions of power, glory, and produce the finances. All of it happens. It brings all of these things. They're all scriptural things. It'll bring it. And in this very time, though, you're going to find yourself in a place of seeing God in a way you've never seen. Even you, with the incredible diamond nature that the Lord has built within you, Sarah, almost a diamond in the rough, but you're not in the rough anymore. He's actually been cutting it. I've been watching, and he's forming the diamond to his pattern because he's going to, in this time period, set you out. That doesn't mean you leave where you do or family, but he's going to bring you more forward and let the light of God shine in and let an expression of the kingdom in you that he's been building. And there'll be a lot more side to side with him. There'll be a lot more speaking and teaching. It's all there. And you guys have ordered your life right. So the Lord's not coming. He's bringing this in your already ordered life. You don't have to go home and, well, is this tomorrow? This has been our plan for 5 years. No. He's amazing. He just moves into what we've already established. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't, if he has to change things, he does, but that's not what's happening. With the children and all this, you'll just see this dimension. And God will begin to add to the team, and he'll quicken the adding. Everything is going to come very fast. It's going to come so casual, you're not going to believe it. You're going to have people from the outside begin to join the question, to ask. You're going to have people who don't believe come. He's going to cause, the best verse is, he says that the alien will be your tender of your vine, and the tender of your harvest, and the stranger will watch over your sheep. It'll be as though the Lord will bring in people you didn't know to join you in the building of the city. That's exactly how it'll happen. And you won't be surprised if someone comes in who's an alien to the house or a stranger to the house and says, I want to be a part of what you're doing. It's their welcome. The Lord is the one out of the prophetic word, out of the text, is the one who's bringing them. He says it. And so there's sometimes that a look and go, well, how can this be? And I don't know. Can we trust them? You can trust the Lord. You can trust the Lord. And so this is the great day of, and please mind my term, awakening. It doesn't mean we're shut. It doesn't mean our eyes were open. No. It's an enlightening of the light. It's a greater expression of the expression. It's the enlargement of the already enlarging. That's exactly what's happening. And so you can prepare yourself, my brother. Even in the office, the Lord is going to begin, I'm saying this openly, so to be drawing you to some aside time. A day or two by yourself, a couple days home, and because he's already hewning out a place for you to meet with him. He's hewning out an area where he's going to enlarge your sight, enlarge your eyes. It's going to be like dilating your pupil is kind of how he's going to do it, so that you open up and more light comes in. You know, the regular optometrist doesn't want that because it could hurt you. This optometrist wants that, and he won't hurt you at all. But it'll dilate your pupil so that it enlarges and it brings more light can get inside of it, because he wants to illuminate your word, illuminate what you know, illuminate the structure, everything about you. You have to know this, my brother. The Lord has meticulously built you. Meticulously. With me, it was more hammer anvil. How's he coming? He'll be okay. And a little oil once in a while. You meticulously, and I'm sure I got jealous sometimes going, what's the story there? Shut up. No, it's not that bad. I'm just playing with you a little bit. That wasn't the Lord. That was me playing with you a little bit. So please be aware of this, and that's why the Lord has to strengthen you. It was very clear with Joshua, and Joshua began to move. The way of war was not the same. Even the way we ate, no more manna. Everything changed. The way the Lord brought things, the way the Lord prepared things, everything the Lord did. And you're very much at that moment where we're beginning to inherit the inheritance. It's the time to take the land. We're not going to fear Jericho. We're not going to fear anything. It doesn't matter how giant it looks. It doesn't matter how high the mountains or how low the valleys appear. We don't have to fear anything. This is the day of the inheritance of the Lord. I want to say, though, to you, to Cornerstone as a church, but to the families of Cornerstone as well. It'll begin to touch families. You'll have to say, listen, we can't put any more testimonies up there. We can't do it anymore. We need the testimony board. Let's show a movie. We'll send it on YouTube. They can watch it later. Just because of the reference of the Lord has blessed me. The Lord has touched my family. My son has come home. My daughter has come home. The Lord has healed our marriage. There were stuff, men will come and say, there were things I was dealing with that I didn't want anybody to know. It's amazing that the Lord has cleansed my heart and cleansed my spirit. Amen. You know, part of it was with the process of the Lord was your willingness to stay. The truth is, though, is you're one of those trees that he has built of righteousness that he could plant anywhere. And you would bloom, you would fulfill. But he wanted to plant you according to his planting because it would have an effect upon your family and the ones that you love more than you knew. And so he just watched us and waited, and that sometimes was silent, which for you was never easy. I don't like the silence either. I don't like when he's silent. That's too many words for me. Silence is too many words. I'm thinking too many things. But he did. He stayed away in a sense and was silent and not confirming things. He just allowed you to trust him, allowed you to walk in faith. And my sister, he has found, as he did with Abraham, your heart faithful to him. And so as he began to expand Abraham, so he's expanding you. Every time he came, it was a revelation of who he is and a revelation of the promise of God. And he's building a young woman that will declare the promise and inheritance of God. A young woman that will declare with uncertain certainty that God will do this, that God said it, he'll do it. And he's building this kind of strength in you. Where I'm doing it this way, the prophetic sound will come through the word. It'll come through the vocal. It'll come through the sound. It'll come through because you got the talent. You can do the spoken word. So anytime you open up your mouth, there's just going to be this word of the Lord that'll go through and it'll affect people's lives like this. So that's why he's been very intent with you. That's why he's handled you differently than others. Even your husband, even your own family, even friends that you know, even people you call and say, how's it going with you? Oh, great, the Lord's speaking to me every single day. And you want to say, shut up. But you wouldn't say, shut up, just inside, shut up. And you think, at times, what's wrong with me? And at times, his tears would go in the quiet place. But the Lord, though, it was difficult for him to stay distant because of his absolute love for you. He had to, that you would walk with him and that you would trust him and that you would believe him. And girl, it's happened. And so the roots are deepening. They're growing deeper. And there's a water system that he'll bring you to. There's always a fountain of the great deep. It's a dimension of the river of God that flows. And he'll cause you to tap into that. And you'll draw up a dimension of God that you will say, whoa, I didn't get this when I was training. I didn't get this in song. I didn't get this in theory. This is the reality of God. It'll begin this year, really towards spring, April, May. It'll be the start of it, and it'll be a continuation because once that root hits that water, it never draws back. The water doesn't run out. It's everlasting. It comes this way. That's the intent of God, that he would prepare you for this place. So it'll be a great day of the declaration of the Lord. Sure, with it's going to come more knee time. Sure, it's going to cause more face time. Sure, like Kim, there's going to have to be more private time because the more he invests, the more he wants. The more he invests, the more I need him. And this is just the math, but it's all good. And this is the Lord. This is in front of the folks in many ways and to you personally, for you to know, just to breathe in deeply and say, wow, the Lord has been very much at work in my life. My young friend here, I just want you to know, listen, dude, glad you're sitting up front. It all is good. And the Lord is going to use your love for music and sound because you got it so large. I mean, just you sit next to me with no, you didn't say one word to me, didn't talk. All I can hear is this rhythm, just constant sound inside of you, just like that. And so he'll use it, but you have to know this. I just want to say this to you, just to encourage you. The Lord doesn't take a mold and say, well, this is what he's going to be, and take you and fit you into it. Oh, no, he doesn't do that. What he does is he molds us. And so everything about us, he put there, everything about. So see, my personality is like this, you know. You think you want my personality to be more like this and make me like I can't talk and I'm some kind of robot, stiff man. No. He likes my personality. He likes the vessel. What he molded is what was in the vessel. And my young friend, the hand of the Lord is upon you. And you, God will use you not only in song and in writing and lyric. But he's going to bring you to be a young man of education, a young man that has a business theory, that understands the business world, because you'll be used intently in the world and in the church as a young man who can plan, who can forge ahead, a young man with discipline, that with a word that can be trusted, not just a song word, not just a written word, not just a lyric word, but in a word too. And everything about you, the Lord is building a young man that one day will stand very tall, and have very big presence, not because of his height or his hair or his looks or his sound, but because of what God is building in him, the character that he's building. It's already happening. So sometimes it feels pressured. Sometimes it feels like you don't get away with much. Sometimes it feels like everything's a little bit tight with you. Don't weigh it like that. Just know the Lord is at hand. The Lord is the one who's orchestrating many, many things in your life. And he never, never lets any one of us uncertain about our future. No matter what feels like a sacrifice, he will honor it far beyond what we could ever get in a lifetime. So don't think, well, that kid gets to do that. She gets to do this. He gets to, don't even go there. Well, I don't get to do a lot of things. I have a lot of restrictions. Don't go there. Just know the Lord understands, and he's building a path and preparing a way that the reward of the Lord will be way more than you could have ever earned in your lifetime. Give me some. My time is ready. Stand with me, please. Pastor Sean will have the prayer folks come up. Come on up. Come with me, Pastor Sean. It's a little bit of a begging for me. I get to speak and preach, and I love it. But, you know, maybe sometimes because of my antics or playing, sometimes maybe my heart isn't expressed. But I have a great cry in my heart because of my relationship with him, that not only us, but that the world would know the incredible love of our Father and his longing to restore every son, every daughter, and the ones who've been faithful, to let them know he's got more for us than we ever considered, ever thought. And he is not some distant person, but he has drawn nigh, and his face-to-face is what he longs for. Let today be our decision.